what is it about how we perceive our environment that makes us try to control things? We can achieve anything. That's what I want to give this world, is people the ability to know that about themselves. We think that our environment needs to change in order for me to be happy or successful. Like, you have to agree with me, or you have to... No, it's...
What if your greatest strengths as a leader are actually holding you back? Maybe it's how you push for results, build relationships, or how you go about making decisions. But without even realizing it, you could be creating friction instead of momentum. The answer lies in an ancient wisdom system reinvented for today's workplace. Welcome to the Learn It All podcast, the show for today's leaders who want to get ahead and stay ahead, because we believe that great leaders aren't born or made, they're constantly in the making. I'm your host, Damon Lemby, and I'm joined by my co-host, Darren Bridget, and we're from Learn It, a live learning platform that has helped upskill over 2 million people over the past 3 decades. In a moment, we'll be joined by Kerry Davidson, a world-renowned speaker, author, founder, and workplace dynamics expert. Her 5-archetype system is used by top companies and homes throughout the world to help transform relationships and workplace culture. We're going to be asking Kerry to share with us how to recognize your natural leadership style and spot when it's causing friction, how to keep teams innovative even under pressure, and most importantly, how to use the 5-archetype style to bring out the best in your organization. What was the pivotal moment in your life that led you to develop the 5 archetypes?
I would say it was probably, I used to be in HR, and people would not innovate under pressure. And I was seeing a pattern of that in my life, in my work life, in my personal life. And I thought to myself, there's got to be some way to help people pause when they feel stressed. And instead of either isolating or acting out, can't we stay open to innovation? And so that led me to search. That's kind of where it all started.
So it was really to try to help people innovate. That was actually the spot you're feeling frustrated with. For our listeners, can you help them understand what the 5 archetypes are, how you developed them, how you sort of grounded them in, I think, Chinese traditional medicine and some other things? It was like a whole story for how you created these. Just do it in a nutshell. There you go. No challenge.
So the 5 archetypes are based on the system of how energy flows. That's ancient. It comes from thousands of years of Chinese medicine that teaches us how do we thrive in the face of challenge. So rather than being a personality system, it reveals what is it about how we perceive our environment that makes us try to control things. Because there is a natural flow. And when we plug into that flow, we don't get upset. We don't take things personally. We don't spend a bunch of energy focusing on things that aren't revenue generating or relationship generating. And so there are these 5 elements, 5 archetypes are fire, earth, metal, water, and wood. And they have very specific speeds at which they move. And we have all of them. We need all of them. And when we use them in balance and we understand how they flow together, we can achieve anything. And that's kind of that's what I want to give this world, is people the ability to know that about themselves in the face of anything that feels uncomfortable.
Is this different than, let's say, Myers-Briggs or DISC or these other personality assessments?
So what I've experienced with things like Myers-Briggs or Strengths Finders, things like that, there's an initial assessment that measures your perception or your experience of your world. And then it takes those answers and it kind of puts you in a box and it says, this is you, you know, go for it. And it kind of, it limits you. It says, you're here, you're never going to change. This is how you are. Everyone better treat you the way you like, so you never have to feel uncomfortable. You never have to do things that aren't your strengths. And personally, I think that's just very limiting and that it's not true. I think that we can all grow, you know, and that when I answer questions like that, it kind of, for me, my answers are, well, it depends. In what context? You know, I'm different if I didn't get good sleep, and I'm different if my kids didn't get their shoes on, you know, in time for me to get out of the house to make my meeting. So
I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So five archetypes is a growth system. It that the scores, your results are meaningless unless they're applied to something you want to change. So it can be it's a change method. It's like, hey, I need 1,000 data entry operators to learn a new technique or a new, you know, platform in 3 days. And they just learned a new one last week, so they're going to be angry. So how do I communicate bad news? So it will teach you how to communicate bad news in a way that people don't resist and get angry about the change. How do I stay with my exercise routine when I hate exercising? So you plug that in. You know, it's a behavior change model. It's based in the understanding that everything's always changing, including me, and that I can change and grow even and especially when it feels uncomfortable.
That's great. I also really interesting. I appreciate that you resist wanting to present something that's so cookie cutter obvious. This is your label, this is you forever. And that's always really bothered me. I don't know how people can, it just feels like it takes humanity in the wrong direction. I'm just kind of like labeling and summing people up. So you're talking about it as kind of this growth system and this change methodology. Maybe you can help elucidate these five archetypes by rolling that out more. So let's say that it is one of those things where in 3 days I need people to adopt this new, you know, climb on board to a new system. Am I then working with my primary archetypes and then trying to adjust to the different primary archetypes of my team? Like how exactly do you apply the archetypes in that moment of change that you suggested?
And if you get a chance, let's take a step back and just go through the five.
Okay. All right. So let's do both. Yeah. So very quickly, these five correspond to nature, which makes them really easy to remember, because we all know what nature does. It's predictable, it's reliable, it's always there. One leads to another. One season leads to another. They are fire, earth, metal, water, and wood. We all have all five. They correspond to our organs and to what we need for physical health as much as cognitive, behavioral, spiritual. You know, it's the whole of us. And so when your primary is fire, you tend to lead with joy and hope and optimism. And you're at risk for overusing those. When you overuse those strategies, you suck the air out of everyone else in the room who doesn't lead with that. So this is also like it's an interrelational system. It's not me alone. It's me and the way I impact and catalyze behavior and thoughts and the people around me. So when I overlead with my fiery optimism, I can potentially make Darren feel uncomfortable because Darren leads with the opposite. So then we go into Earth. Earth, when your primary is Earth, you lead with empathy and connection and conversation and sharing. You really respect the four-hour lunch that doesn't have a purpose other than, you know, than getting closer to someone and knowing them and knowing what they need. Then you have metal. When you lead with metal, you lead with value. You are really good at determining what's valuable, what's not, and helping like yourself and others not waste time on things that are just not getting us anywhere. Then you have water. When you have a primary water, you lead with peace and deep meaning and quiet. You don't need to talk. You don't need to make eye contact. You don't need to socialize. And so imagine those water people in the world, you know, other people can be confused about that and they can make it mean something. Oh, they're not sociable or, you know, they have a personality issue. You know, we can label it bad, but they're just deep thinkers. Then you have people who are primary wood. When your primary is wood, you lead with momentum, with trailblazing, with speed, with facing everything and avoiding nothing. It's like going for it. And so if you think about, we all have all of those things. We use them for different reasons. On Thanksgiving, we're all earthy. You know, when we're in school and we're running a race, we're all woody. You know, we use these parts of ourselves, but when you recognize your primary, it's almost a warning sign. It tells you that if you overuse this, if you overview your world this way, you are causing pain to 90% of the people in the room who don't, that's not how they lead. And it's uncomfortable. But what happens is when we feel uncomfortable, we overuse our primary and we cause disharmony, not even knowing it.
Well, I kind of think of that, you know, we have some styles that we work with that are in a kind of a similar way in the sense that, but the framework is let's agree. Like, so we have to make a decision about something, you know, let's look at the different perspectives, like whether it's empathic or the big picture value or this, like, how do we just operationalize this and kind of make agreements about what matters and in what order should we look at them and how much attention. So you get buy-in from other people, like, okay, yeah, let's focus on the empathy piece right now. Let's focus on the people. Is that kind of how you apply these things in kind of agreement with each other about how to apply them, or not exactly?
Sometimes some people need agreement in order to make a decision. Like the three of us might need to, you know, make a house out of popsicle sticks, and you want to use the really big ones and I want to use the little skinny ones. And Damon's like, screw the popsicle sticks.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we have to come to an agreement. Where the five archetypes comes in is teaching me to stop criticizing or judging myself or others so that I can stay open to innovating under pressure. The barrier is my thoughts, is my belief, is the barrier is me believing anything I think, hear, sense, feel, or remember. When I believe it and attach meaning to it, my mind puts up a barrier. And even if my face is saying to you, fine, we'll do it your way, I'm going to go home and be really pissed and probably have a stomach ache, not sleep well, show up in a bad mood. And you're going to be tomorrow like, what's wrong with Carrie? She agreed. Why is she being a party pooper? So it's me letting go of my need to be right. And letting go of, I should never have to feel uncomfortable, so we should do it my way. And going into, even though I feel uncomfortable, what decision can I make right now that brings more harmony to this unit? Because this unit remaining in harmony is much more important than my temporary discomfort about not getting it my way. Because who am I to think that my way is the only way? But each of us does. And you can predict what's happening underneath and behind the scenes when you're having a let's agree conversation, when you know everybody's primary and you know how to bring the conversation into a growth-minded space where we honor your discomfort about having to give up what you want so that you're really connected in the heart, not just performative because it's what you're supposed to do. So that no one has pain leaving the room. Like you come back and you honored each other.
Can you share along those lines? Can you share a specific example where you brought these archetypes in to solve a big problem? Let's just say like where a team wasn't clicking or something went wrong with a customer.
Yeah. So I was once brought into a pretty large company where 2 years ago, they hired a consultant to deal with this very pretty large sales team disharmony. The leader was under a lot of pressure. I mean, he needed to bring in a lot of money so that everyone got paid. But it showed, you know, he didn't handle the stress well. He would lash out and blame his people, throw them under the bus every once in a while because he didn't want to take the blame for something that went bad. This particular company had recently had a merger with another company. So there were like new personalities, new people. There was a lot of upheaval, a lot of chaos, but still the requirement, like we still have to bring in several million, you know, in order to carry this company. So 2 years ago, they hired a consultant to embed this guy within the group to fix the dynamics. And it was a 6-month assignment. So that was 2 years ago. This guy is still with him. And it's getting worse and worse and worse. And so they brought me in as a Hail Mary.
That's going to be your new nickname, by the way. We'll just refer to you as Hail Mary.
Yeah. And the guy, you know, I was dealing with a consultant at first, and he's doing the intake. And I said, well, what does this team need? And he's like, well, here's the deal. He's like, the leaders, none of them are coachable. Not one. I've been trying. None of them are coachable. And I'm like, okay. You know, internally, I'm like, I like that challenge. So the end result was, you know, the outcome they're looking for is better communication, trust. Finally, like everyone's speaking to each other in a way that catalyzes excellence and care. Because if people feel dignified, they don't need to prove anything, you know. And as soon as you've got your agenda and you're trying to prove things, already you're creating disconnect. There's no trust. There's no honesty there. And so we did two sessions with them. One introduction to the five archetypes, helping them understand themselves and how they go into that critical thinking that leads them away from being effective, even if their words are what they're supposed to be. And then I gave them some homework. The homework, which you guys could do, your listeners could do, is to just pay attention to the moments when you start to think critically about yourself or someone else. Criticism, not critically, but judgment, criticism, blame. Just notice, flex that muscle in your mind, because at that moment is when you're most at risk for going down the path of disconnect. And so we came back after a week of them doing that, and we're all in the room, and we just had a real talk. And, you know, I left the curriculum out the door. I'm like, what came up for you this week? And they started to notice, hey, I noticed when I thought something I was going to say to, you know, my coworker, and I realized if I say that, I'm going to create, you know, a ripple effect of miscommunication, because, you know, now that I understand myself and them. And what happened in this meeting was the leader, the one who was the most uncoachable, had an aha moment in the middle and said, oh my gosh, so that thing I do that makes me feel really comfortable and safe actually creates the conditions for everyone in my team to feel like they need to lock down and shut down and silo the very thing that I've been trying to get them to stop doing for 2 years. I'm creating that. I'm like, yes, just by this one simple thing that you usually say, because it makes you feel comfortable. And he's like, I feel like I was just hit over the head with the brick and woken up. And it was over. So 2 years of misery, the uncoachables. You know, it's like we think that our environment needs to change in order for me to be happy or successful. Like, you have to agree with me, or you have to. No, it's I have to stop believing everything I think and make a shift into compassion.
Well, you talk about compassion, too. You have this you describe compassion as it should be like breathing. Like you just be compassion, which sounds like for yourself and other people. And that's kind of the secret. That is a fascinating story to think this whole framework of like what makes you really comfortable and recognizing when that thing that makes you super comfortable, how it actually affects other people so you can make some change. Damon and I both have done your assessment. And I know we talked about this ahead. See, look how excited you are. That maybe the best way really to help elucidate how this works is for you to kind of work with us on our assessments. And I nominate Damon to go first. how should we proceed now that, and you could tell people like how you do the assessment and what do we do from here?
And I want to interject just really quickly, go to Carrie's website and take the assessment. It's free. It takes you less than 10 minutes. And, absolutely. After you watch this, go there and take the assessment. All right, Carrie, I'm turning it over to you now.
So this assessment, you may feel like the questions are reminiscent of a personality test. Like they, you know, you've probably seen these questions before, but what we're doing with your answers is categorizing them into these five elements and seeing the magic is not the one or, you know, or how much or how little. The magic is in the relationship among the five. When it's placed in the context of a problem you want to solve. So just one of your elements is meaningless. Just all of your elements without relating them to each other or to a problem is meaningless. So when I look at your assessment results, Damon, I think what would be, what would help, I mean, what I might do with a client would be, what's something that you want to change? Like, do you want to do a better job at cleaning up your room before you go to bed? Do you want, like, you know, it doesn't have to be earth shattering. It could be as big or small as you want. It just to demonstrate how you can use this to create change.
My wife will get mad at me for saying this, but I'm okay with living with a dirty room. We got two little kids, so I've just come to that conclusion, even though she is very much about being a clean person. One thing I want to get better at is being present and really in the moment as much as possible, especially outside of work. I think that there's so much always going on, Carrie. We all know that, especially as a CEO of a company with a lot of uncertainty in the world and everything out there. That's one thing I want to change is figuring out how to be more present.
So outside of work, can you give me an example of a time when you don't feel present, when it's like, oh, I wish I was more present now? Like, when is it bad?
Lucy's, my 7-year-old's going through her homework with me and she's really excited and she wants my help. And I'm thinking about a big challenge that I have at work that I got to address the next day. And I know that Lucy's only going to be 7 for a short period of time and she'll be a teenager before it's too late. So how do I bring my mind back to focusing on what's happening now and leave the work issue for later on?
Beautiful. This is so helpful. So like I said, we all have all five. Are you okay if I share how, like, the numbers for each of your five?
Absolutely, of course.
So your highest was earth at 74.7. The second highest was wood at 73.8. Fire 69, water 55, and metal 50. So we have your highest is earth and your lowest is metal. So that's one relationship to look at. And I'm going to use that a little bit for this particular question. Earth, when your primary is earth, you can fall into the trap of overthinking. And like the mind can become like the earth in us is a gatherer. We gather information, research, knowledge, advanced degrees, certifications, friendships, food, whatever. It's a gatherer. When we overdo it, we become a hoarder, right? We have so much information and thought and worry in the mind that there's no room for anything else. And it becomes overwhelming and heavy, and it leads to inertia. You know, imagine if you stuff a room full of stuff, nothing can move in there anymore. And so that's what happens in the mind when Earth feels overwhelmed by what they have to do. You know, so you have a lot of work stuff. If you're a CEO, it's endless. You know, you're responsible, buck stops here.
Feels that way, yes.
Yeah. So in that space, there's what can happen is you overbelieve that that's true to the exclusion of all else. And so it kind of sucks the air into overvaluing the gathering of worry and undervalues the other two, your two lowest elements. Were metal and water. Metal is stop, is the energy is stop. Metal is stop believing that, is put boundaries around that. And because it's your lowest, it's not your go-to way of problem solving. You might reject you know, other correlated metal behaviors like routinizing anything, sitting to a routine, you know, cleaning up your room, you know, organizing your files, you know, believing that there's always a one way to do things. You know, you might reject that kind of stuff. Metal is also the lungs. It's the breath. Like, do you ever feel like you're holding your breath? Like, the exhale is, you can combine knowing that, oh, I'm getting stuck in over worrying about work, so much so that I'm losing precious time with my child. Can you kind of, the activity there would be, hold, you know, the belief for a second. Imagine it in a bubble in front of you. I've got so much work to do. I cannot stop thinking about this, because if I stop thinking about this, the whole company's going to fall apart. So put that in a bubble in front of you and exhale it and do an imagery thing of like, imagine it's just flowing up there, and put a timer and give yourself, you know, let's say, can you give your daughter and yourself the gift of 7 minutes? And then the timer is metal. It's because it measures. It's a measurement, and it's a stopper. And it puts boundaries around the overwhelm in the mind. And also, it's a gift, which is metal. You know, it's this righteous, beautiful gift of a moment of your presence. So that's kind of how I would problem solve that with you. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. Thank you for that. And one question I have around that, I'm sure Carrie speaks about this in her book. Do you see, Carrie, specific archetypes for different roles? Like, for instance, as a CEO, is there one that sticks out or is more typical than others when it comes to being primary?
So it's interesting. I know, like, there's we talk a lot about that with personality systems, or even with astrology, you know, like who you should date and all that kind of stuff. So with the archetypes, it kind of goes underneath that, rather than saying, oh, a fire's good at this or that. It's like, fire primaries are inspirational leaders, inspirational CEOs. So they might be the ones who, like, get up and, you know, in front of the crowd and cheer everyone on. Earth leaders are altruistic leaders. They care about saving humanity and teaching them things that will uplift them and make their lives better. Metal leaders are righteous leaders. They might be clergy. You know, they wanna elevate the righteousness of our souls. Water leaders are going to be wise leaders, like the Buddha. You know, they're going to sit there and they're going to be meditating, and they have office hours, you know, from like 4:07 to 4:11, because the rest of the time they're meditating. Then you have wood leaders who are brave leaders, who they just, like, they're trailblazers, they're risk takers. They don't care if they lose money or if they fail fast, because they'll start again tomorrow. So we all have, it's the motivation underneath why we become a leader or why we choose to become a data entry operator. So it doesn't believe that we are stuck. We don't, like, nature isn't stuck. We don't sit in summer forever. I mean, well, some places in the world sit in summer forever, but if you think about most of the world, you know, we're changing. We're always changing and moving. So how do you harness that truth and overcome the discomfort of, like, oh, I chose to be a data entry operator and today I'm bored? How do I overcome that so that I can show up for my, you know, my leadership and deliver even when I'm feeling wonky? So it teaches me that.
It seems like, Carrie, one of the things I appreciate a lot about the way that you approach this is talking about how it's how the different archetypes relate to each other. It's not just sort of absolute set in stone, oh, you're this, so that's what you should do. But it's kind of your own profile is what percentage of these and how they interrelate, which feels to me like a good metaphor for how we should think about this in general. You know, we all have sort of different proclivities and strengths and appetites and life experiences and things like that. And thinking about yourself and others kind of in relationship instead of absolutes seems like a really positive idea. And then it gives you clues as like what the recipe for help is. Because if this is your particular mix, then this is a good recipe. Like with for Damon, it's like the 7 minutes right here is like a good recipe for you to make something positive happen.
I'm going to use that, by the way, too.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that because I really, you could ask Darren. I know we're going through this conversation, but I really appreciate feedback and ideas and then try things out. So I absolutely will. Put it in a bubble, give it to 7 minutes.
I have a question about finding your archetypes because as I heard you talk about metal, which you use is I think my top one, you mentioned routine. And that's like one of the things that I actually have a really hard time with is routine. I'm pretty ADD and I generally have a hard time with routine. So like, how do you know, I heard you say water, like, you know, they don't need to talk. It's like, okay, well, that's definitely not me, but maybe I got it wrong. Cause I think I do have some water in there. Like, how do you find your way through these assessments when it's not like a perfect little fit?
So again, it's used to problem solve. So what I, you know, and your perception of things that are challenges for you may be very different from what Damon feels are challenges for him. So the way I'm going to problem solve using, you know, Damon's spread of five elements, vastly different from yours. So there is no one size fits all. And they're like the results are meaningless unless you want to fix something, unless you want to change something or grow something. So, you know, the relationship of yours, you have they're all a little bit closer together. You know, they're a little bit higher and closer together. Then Damon has a different, like a spread between like three of them are about the same and then two of them are about the same. And so for you, I would say you probably more easily can kind of sway among the five and grab what you need in the moment.
That makes sense because I feel very undefined.
Yeah.
That was meant to be a little bit of a joke, but yeah.
Well, yeah.
I appreciate that. Okay, that makes sense. It's about how they interrelate, right? So, because I want to get some benefit here. So, my question is, I spent some time working on one of her classes the other day, and I kind of got really into the design of it as I was thinking through the slides, and the design is visually how I think. But I felt like I was getting a little bogged down, but that extra time actually translated into me coming up with a really good idea that I hadn't thought about before. So instead of kind of powering through and getting it done, I feel like, okay, I actually got a really cool idea that I wouldn't have gotten before. But along the way, I think that I have a hard time compartmentalizing and like letting it go. I wish I could compartmentalize different parts, like a work life and then personal life, and not have it like percolating so much in the background or worrying over it. I want to let go more. I want to be better at letting go, but not lose the benefit of some of that inspiration.
So it's almost like, so tell me if this is what you're asking. Discomfort comes, like when there's feelings of stuckness around creating or whatever it is. There's a crunchy feeling.
Not letting go. I'm still thinking about it.
Yeah.
Still thinking about it. And I want to just let go and enjoy the night. I want to compartmentalize better. But I think by not compartmentalizing, I still get the benefit of like some creativity.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm torn a little bit about letting go about compartmentalizing.
Do you feel like being a little more specific about a time when this happened?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would say in trying to just use this example, like I should have, I mean, Damon's right here. And if I'm criticizing myself, like I should have got through that work faster. And then I should have let it go and moved on to something else. And when I finished the day, I should have stopped thinking about work and just had dinner and been in the moment, kind of like what Damon is saying. But at the same time, what I recognize that I got something out of that approach, which was a better product because there was room for creativity.
So your highest was metal at 81.9 and second was water at 76.5, which is interesting because those are Damon's lowest.
Yeah.
And so there's a, you know, if we have time, it's an interesting way to understand your, not just your relationship with you, between you and your work and your internal world, but it's also a way of understanding the relationship between you and someone else. your third at 72.9 was earth, and then wood was 64.8 and fire 63.9. So what's interesting is between the two of you, you share almost the same amount of earth, and earth is relationship. So even though you have different ways in the world of, you know, doing work and engaging in the world, you still have that, that, you know, that unity. So it's interesting listening. First, one thing that was interesting is that you volunteered Damon to go first.
Just going to point that little thing out because
high metal and water, those are energies that are like underground, beneath ground, like they're quiet. They are mysterious and with boundaries. They take their time letting you in. You need to earn it. I need to know what you're about to do. So I'm going to let Damon go first.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So that's one, just one little thing. Then you shared in the story, I should have moved faster. I should have been able to think in the moment. So you're highlighting fat speed is wood, which is your second lowest, and thinking in the moment, like, is intuition, which is fire. So those are your two lowest. So you might hear yourself in your, you know, in life, and when you feel frustrated, should yourself in wood and fire. Gosh, I should be faster. I should have asked for money. I should have. Why not? No, no, no. You know. So you'll do that. That'll just be a pattern. That is interesting to know, because then you can hear yourself about to say that and be like, that's just my wood. How can I get out in front of that? How can I plan better for that next time? Instead of it being a should that then becomes a rumination and a judgment and a self-criticism in your mind. It will always be those two things, the wood and fire stuff. So wood is speed, it's momentum, it's planning ahead, it's looking at your agenda every day, it's having a goal, it's asking for money, it's facing everything, it's being a little, you know, a little bit of a pushy person saying, when are you going to buy? Instead of, would you like to hear the details? You know, it's the difference. And fire is intuition. Metal will focus on the data and the facts, and will judge their feelings about something, their intuition. I shouldn't feel that, or I shouldn't base it on just how I feel. But then when you feel stuck, your body, your mind is asking for a little bit more wood and fire in the decision-making process, but the mind is resisting it. So you're having this fight, this internal fight, where you start hearing the script, I should be faster and I should be more fiery, you know? So you can get out in front of that.
So I have a motto for myself now, which is shoulda, woulda, with like wood for woulda.
That's so good. I love it.
I shoulda, woulda.
I love it.
So is the answer, though, that I should have compassion and not should myself? Or am I trying to tell myself, like, I give myself permission to speed up?
So give me the outcome you want. Like, what do you want next time to look like? And then I'll tell you.
I think that I want a little bit of both. I want to be able to speed up, but then like go back if I get a great idea.
What do you think is in the way of speed, of moving faster?
I don't know. Just like either I don't have a good idea yet, or I just kind of get lost in little perfectionist things.
So metal is at risk because metal is so good at knowing what's valuable and what's not. They can over-focus on those details and lose sight of the bigger picture. So they can stop themselves from going into a project with openness and innovation and curiosity because they can over-focus on like, well, I already know. And then when you go into a project with the mindset of, well, I already know, you've closed yourself down to like 80% of potential. And then when you sit in it and you're doing it and then you feel stuck and you go into shuddha, you activate your own water. It's very natural for you to go into water since it's your second and it's the one that comes after your primary. So we flow in that direction. So all of a sudden you're like pushing against the shell and then it breaks and you get into your water and you're like, oh, all that suffering for, you know, some wisdom. But you can avoid that whole, the suffering part, by getting out in front of it and doing a little bit of like pre-planning, you know, and being like, testing yourself. Okay, tomorrow I have to do 16 slides for a presentation on vacuum cleaners. So like, I know I'm potentially, because this part, my primary is fire, I have the potential to get stuck in the details and do that thing where I shoulda. So let me just free flow ideas. Like tonight, I'm just gonna, before I go to bed, let go of everything I think I know, drop it into the ground, release it all. I am an empty vessel. And I'm gonna just free write a bunch of words and ideas. And then go to sleep and forget about it. And tomorrow morning when I sit down, then you've got all of this like openness and potential and wisdom to kind of weave into it. So you're starting a little more open than your metal mind is comfortable. The metal mind, we all do what's comfortable first. So your primary is what's comfortable. You're most at risk for limiting yourself in the way you primarily think.
Fascinating. I like the vision of, and we should have to move off me. I mean, I feel like this whole became like a giant coaching just for me. But yeah, I'm moving off of like the giving myself room to free write and let it go. You know, that's really what it is, that ability to just let it go.
Thank you for both of that, for Darren and I.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's say I'm a salesperson and I identify, or my primary is wood, and I'm meeting with a customer. And they're most likely primary is metal. And I'm thinking to myself, well, how do I interact in a way that it's going to benefit both of us and that this person trusts me? What advice do you have to make this relationship go well?
Yeah, I love this. So I'm going to answer that question. And then I will also share that we don't always know, right? Like, you're not walking around, people aren't wearing a hat. So we can also do it without knowing, but I'll tell you I'll answer that if we did know. So there's only two things we can control. One of them is our relationship to our perception of what we're seeing, the relationship we have to it. Do we believe it? Do we get stressed by it? Do we make a story about it? Do we attach any meaning to it? And remembering that it's just our perception, it's limited. It's only 20% of reality. So am I attached, addicted to my primary perception of the world? So if I'm a wood primary, I tend to go for speed. I want to close the deal. I want to win. I want to prove to my boss that I made the most sales this week so that I can get the cruise. I want that prize. And so my mind is focused on me winning, not necessarily about building a relationship, building trust, listening to anything the person has to say, right? So a metal person is going to want to know the details, the facts, the data. You know, do your vacuum cleaners have a good feedback? What are people saying? Do they break? Blah, blah, blah. What's the warranty? They're going to want all these details. And wood is going to be like, hey, it's shiny. Most people like it. And I need that vacation. And so what might happen is the metal person who wants the details will not and needs the details and needs to be heard in order to trust you, doesn't trust you. Then you get labeled, oh, he's a so-and-so salesman. He doesn't care about me. You know, and it's just not going to happen. And the wood's going to be confused because they're a winner. Like, what happened here? So the bridge between wood and metal is water. So these elements go in a cycle. Fire, earth, metal, water, and wood. The ones across from each other challenge each other in a room. without even speaking to each other. You know, a metal and a fire person are going to feel crunchy. I don't know what it is about him, but, you know. So it's a natural force, which when we heal, when we honor, it becomes our legacy. We can then handle anything. We can flourish in any situation when we get over ourselves. When we get over, like, she's not laughing at my jokes. Get over it. So the way that we connect with the ones that are across from us, we have to use the bridge of the element that's between us. And so the bridge between wood and metal is water. What is the activity of water? It's listening. But it's not active. It's not performative, active listening garbage. It is listening to the story I'm telling myself about my limited perception of what I'm experiencing. Am I judging this person because she has her camera off? You know, am I making it mean something about me? You know, am I, all the stuff we think, if it's closing us down by being critical, judgmental, blame, finger pointing, we are limiting our potential to connect with humans, you know, in a way that makes them feel seen and dignified and heard and open and safe working with us and buying our stuff. So if I'm addicted to my woody, you know, sales thing, I am not aware of the fact that my presence is making this metal person like wish, you know, they could get off the phone immediately. And I missed the whole thing.
I think that's fantastic. And it's, I hear what you're saying is, you know, take the ego out of it, self-reflect, and not make sure you're not just thinking about yourself, right? And I think that's so great. And it's, I want to be respectful of time, and you're awesome, Carrie. And I have my one more question, and I think I know what you're going to say the answer is to this, but if you had to pick one archetype that most businesses need more of right now, what would you pick and why?
So wait, you said you think you know what I'm going to answer?
I think I know what you're going to answer.
Okay. Well, all right. I hope, well, we'll see. So my answer is water. Water is...
listening.
Yeah. Listening. We do so much reactive stuff and it burns up so much like energy and worry. It takes up so much of our brain power that if we trusted that we could sit back and reflect and be clear and be present, we'll actually hear the answer without like thinking we need to think the answer. Like if I crunch my mind enough, I'll figure it out. But actually, if I listen better, you know, to the stories I'm telling myself and the true, like, create the conditions for people to feel safe around me, they'll tell me what they need when they feel safe. So yeah, I would say water, drinking water, sleeping, which is water, and listening.
That's exactly what I thought you were going to say. And I agree with him. We had a great guest on the show, Doug Conant, amazing guy who did major turnarounds. And one of his big things, Carrie, that he said was lead by listening. You know, lead by listening, and we'll all have a better world. But thank you for that. Darren?
Well, yeah, thank you. I mean, Carrie, first off, thank you for painting this picture for us of a whole world in which these different human elements kind of flow and interact with each other, and a story for how you can make change and grab a hold of these different threads in human experience, and what I really hear you painting the picture of too is like a practice. It's not just it's not simple. It's like, oh, which number are you? Which color are you? And here's what we do. It's more complex than that. And you paint the picture of this kind of practice, which brings me back to that phrase that you had in your book that I appreciated so much, which is that you need to. Compassion should be like breathing, like be compassion. And as you learn this practice, you basically be compassion by understanding this story for change and bring compassion to oneself and to each other. So thank you for bringing that into the room with us. It feels like a rare gift.
Thank you guys. You guys are awesome. And it I mean, you make it so easy.
Well, thank you for saying that. Where can our how can our audience connect with you?
Yeah, so on my website, carriedavidson.com is probably the best place. I'm active-ish on LinkedIn and on slightly on Instagram. Every once in a while, I do look at my messages and there's something from 3 or 4 weeks ago. I'm like, oh. But those are pretty much the ways you can get in touch.
Carri, thanks for joining us. You are awesome. And for our listeners, here's what I'd like you to do. First, like and subscribe and leave us a rating if you can. And I also want you to go on the Carri's website and take the 5 archetypes assessment. It's less than 10 minutes, and I thought it was very fascinating and great. And until next time, everybody, stay curious and keep learning. Have a great day.